Thank you, Dave. Good morning. As Timothy was wondering what kind of flower he was, reminded me of a story I heard about a marriage conference. And the speaker was encouraging the husbands to be sensitive to their wives and also to know their wives. And so he asked them, "Do you know your wife's favorite flower?" And he pointed at one guy and said, "Tell us your wife's favorite flower." He said, "Well, I'm not sure, but I think it's Martha White Self-Rising." So, I don't know if that's Timothy or not, but anyway. Good to be with you this morning. What a blessing to be able to come together freely and enjoy the things of God. And we appreciate you spending your time with us this morning and trust that you will do that throughout the week as you're able. As you look at the bulletin, as the announcements were mentioned, we trust that you'll take advantage of the different opportunities we have to gather and the different things that we're able to do together. If anybody recognizes that picture, I don't know if you can see it that well. You probably can. You probably don't recognize it. It's actually in North Carolina. It's at the Outer Banks. And this is called the Mother Vine. The Mother Vine. It's America's oldest cultivated grapevine. They think that it was probably started in about 1584. It's in Manio on Roanoke Island there at the Outer Banks. And it's a scuppernong. How many people know what a scuppernong is? Almost. Oh, man. Yeah, I can't teach you guys anything. Let's close our Bibles and go home. We're going to learn about scuppernongs this morning. Did you know? I won't ask you to raise your hand because you already all know. I'm going to act like you don't. The scuppernong is a large variety of muscadine, and muscadine is a type of grape. Did you know that the scuppernong is the state fruit of North Carolina? How many people knew that? Two people. All right. I did teach the rest of you something today. All right. Grapes, of course, grow on vines, and this is a vine. Pretty impressive. Got a lot of age on this particular vine. And it reminds us, that's a scuppernong, not on that vine, by the way, but I remember going out with my dad to Francis Bailey's house, and she had scuppernongs there. Her husband, Albus, I'm sure was the one maybe who got them going originally, but he had passed away at that time, and my dad and I went out there. My dad loved those scuppernongs. They were okay. You know, I would eat some of them, but he would love those things. And going in there and pulling them off the branches all tied together in there, probably the most involved I've ever been in a grapevine. And then as I think about it, I thought, oh, that's why they say, heard it from the grapevine. Oh, okay. Because all tangled together in there, right? You know, it's all those vines running all together, and you get some information out of that. So anyway, you know, the Lord Jesus used a lot of agricultural illustrations, a very agrarian society in which he lived there in the Middle East while he was here upon the earth. And so this morning we want to think about a vine, and we want to think about a question that we're going to be looking at John 15 regarding. And that question is before you, and hopefully not just before your eyes, but before your mind and before your heart this morning. Are you abiding in the true vine? But if I underlined you, then that would take away the emphasis on abiding and the emphasis on the true vine. Several weeks ago, Kim and I went up to Dubuque, Iowa. I was privileged to speak at their spiritual emphasis days there at the school. And the theme they have for this year is abide. Just that one word, abide. is the theme for the year. And you know, I told Israel Chavez, he was the one who contacted me about it, and I said, you know, I'd like to maybe speak on John 15, but then go into the fruit of the Spirit. And as I continued to pray and develop and be distracted and not have time to do everything I wanted, I ended up not speaking on John 15, but we did use it every day. They had verses 1 through 11 on this card, and if they could quote that perfectly, they would get a T-shirt, a special T-shirt that was designed for that. So every meeting, we had five meetings together, and every one we would start with at least part of this passage. And you know, as I was reading through this passage and hearing them quoting this passage, I just was, you know, what I was saying, I wish I was preaching on this. So, but I was already planning on preaching on something else, and I did that, tying it into this. But I said, you know what, if I can't preach on that at Emmaus, I can preach on that at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. So that's going to be the overflow today for you as we examine this question, are you abiding in the vine? And to ask this question and hopefully answer this question, we want to ask and answer three other questions to help us answer this question, are you abiding in the true vine? So first of all, let's go to John 15, and we're going to read those first 11 verses. I'm going to read them. Hopefully you'll follow along if you have a Bible there with you, listening carefully to the Holy Spirit and the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain or abide in you, and that your joy may be full. So much there. So much. We won't be able to get to everything, but we do want to look a little bit at this question, are you abiding in the vine? And as we ask that, again, our first question under that will be this. What does it mean to abide in the vine? How do I know if I'm abiding in the vine if I don't even know what it means to abide in the vine? So what does that mean? Well, first of all, we consider the picture. The picture that the Lord Jesus verbally painted, this beautiful portrait that he gave, the one who said, I am the true vine. So first of all, we have that picture of the vine. The Lord Jesus, we have in John, he also said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the true vine. As we think about that vine, that mother vine there that we looked at on Roanoke Island, you know, that vine is the source of life for every branch that comes off of that vine. For every grape, every scuppernong grape that grows on that, those branches, that vine is the source of the nutrition, the source of the water, the source of life. We sang this morning in the Lord's Supper, Jesus' source of life eternal. He is the vine. And you notice the Lord Jesus says there in verse 1, not only that he is the vine, he'll say that later, but he starts off by saying he is the true vine. There are a lot of vines. Now in the Old Testament, you'll find Israel, the nation of Israel, was the vine that God planted. They failed in fullness of what God wanted them to do. They were successful in some things. We have the Word of God through them. No credit to them. They were failures at what God wanted them to be. A light to the Gentiles. They weren't the true vine. The Lord Jesus is the true vine. You know, there may be a lot of other things in your life that you're connected to. Not bad necessarily. Maybe some of them are. You're connected to these things, and you're trying to draw sustenance, spiritually speaking, from these things, these people, these activities, these whatever, but they're not the true vine. So we want to make sure that we are abiding in the true vine, the only true vine. And then there was the farmer, the vine dresser in my translation, maybe the husbandman in your translation, but bottom line, the farmer who was responsible for the vine, and that, the Lord Jesus says, is his Father. And of course, the farmer comes and he works around the vine, he works on the vine, and he also works on the branches, doing what needs to be done. The Lord Jesus came to this earth and took on a human body. And the Lord Jesus, there in the womb of the Virgin, and as we saw last Sunday morning, that life within the womb was the true life. It was the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, growing, developing in the womb of His mother. And then He was born. He was a little baby, and He learned how to talk. And He learned how to walk. We can't understand that. This is God learning. We'll read in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 that the Lord Jesus learned obedience by the things that He suffered. He experienced what it meant to suffer and to obey. The Lord Jesus. He came never stopping being God. But as He put aside for a time that outward manifestation of His Godhood, He continued to be deity, He continued to be divine, He continued to be God. And yet in His deity, He said, I'm going to be under the authority of my Father, equal in every way. And yet for the work that He came to do, He said, I will take the place under the authority of my Father. And so it was as if the Father was working on Him, the true vine. He worked on us too. He's working on us. But you see, the branches in that day, specifically, He was talking to His disciples, His followers, His learners. But we believe that the application here is not only for those men and women that were following Him at that time, but also for us who believe on Him today. And we see the vine dresser working with the branches, sometimes lifting them up. Now you notice there in verse 2 that it says that there is not bearing fruit, He takes it away. But that word can also mean in the Greek, and often does, to lift up. And so we find that sometimes the branches would be dragging and would need to be lifted up and helped to continue in their growth so that they would bear fruit. He is lifting, He is cleaning, He is pruning the branches, and the purpose of the branches is fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. What is the secret? What is the secret to the branch bearing the fruit, the grapes? Well, we know what the secret is. He tells us it's abiding. Abiding. That is the secret. You see, it's that life of the vine. Just like in the grapevine, just like the grapes in the vineyard that may be in your backyard, I don't know, or in North Carolina, or in California, or in Italy, or wherever the grapes may be grown. The vine brings the life that needs to go to the branches that will develop the grapes. Without that, without that connection, without that life coming through, there's not going to be any fruit. We also sang this morning in the Lord's Supper, so closely are we linked in love. So closely are we linked in love. That's our connection. The connection between the branch and the vine. And there must be that abiding. That word abide means to remain, to continue, to dwell. We think of your abode, your home. That's where you live. And we are to abide, we're to be dwelling, we're to be remaining, we're to be continuing in the vine. Stay. Our dog's name is Rocky. Some of you met Rocky. He's got a lot of energy. He's got too much energy. But when we got him, Kim's dad had bought him for us after we had had our house broken into. He said, I'm gonna help y'all protect yourselves. I'm going to get you this dog, a Belgian Malinois. And Rocky, his mother was a working police dog in Burlington. And the guy that we bought him from had begun to train him, but I don't know if he was too hyper or he just didn't think he had it, you know, that little extra whatever. But anyway, he knew these three commands. And the first command was assis. And when you tell him to assis, he would sit down. And then you say blife. And that meant stay. Stay. If you tell him to stay, he would stay there. He would stay there. No, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, aren't I, Kim? Blythe was lay down. Off, that was stay. Off. So when he got to that third command, off, he would stay there. And you'd take the little treat and you'd walk across the room and you'd put it on the floor and you'd look at him and he'd lay there and he'd watch and he'd wait and he would stay. He would remain. He would dwell in that spot until you said, okay. And then he was on the tree just like that. And that's what God wants us to do. To dwell, to remain, to stay in His Son. You look here and you see in the picture, there's the vine. You see the life is coming up through the vine. And it's going out into these branches. And here's the result of the branch that abides in the vine. It's fruit. That's the whole point. So first of all, we have the picture. I just want to mention this too very quickly as we move through this. The position and the practice, okay? Position and the practice. Because we're branches and we're to abide in the vine. David Douglas, sitting over here on the corner, his position is Sunday morning pianist, okay? So that's his position. That's his role. But you know what? If we got ready and Dave came up here and said, okay, the first song is going to be number 27, turn to 27. And David just sat there on the front row saying, David, go up and play the piano. He just sits there. Now, would you say his position, yes, he's Sunday morning pianist. His name's on the schedule. He's supposed to be playing. That's his position. But by practice, he's not playing the piano. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Now, the same thing can be true of us if we're not careful. We can have the position as a vine connected to the branch and yet not have that true in practice. And that's so true of a lot of things in Scripture. We are holy. We're holy. But then God says, be holy, because I am holy. In other words, there's a positional holiness being set apart to God, but there's a practical holiness which lives out the position. And that's what God wants us to do. So positionally, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior possess a connection with Christ. You see, we come into this world, born into this world, separated from God. Because we all inherit the nature of our forefather Adam. And it comes down to every human being. And we come into this world, and our position is a sinner. Our position is separate from God. Going our own way, that's our position. But how thankful we are that 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus, the true vine, came in to our world. He came and He lived and He took on that human body and He learned obedience. In other words, He experienced what it was to suffer and to obey in suffering. And He took that suffering all the way to the cross of Calvary, and there, the perfect God human being who had never sinned, never could sin. He's God. Never sinned in thought, word, and deed. Every one of us in this room, we've sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. Some of us have sinned worse than others, but we sin. We've broken God's law. We read in James, if you've broken one of God's law, you're guilty of breaking the law. You don't have to break all 10. You don't have to break a majority, 6 out of 10, in order to be considered a sinner by God. No, we're all sinners by nature, and then we follow through on that nature. We practice. We're guilty. We're separated from God. We deserve to be punished in hell forever. That separation from God is what God says is the ultimate punishment for all. So the Lord Jesus goes to the cross and He hangs on the cross. And again, as we meditated on this morning in the Lord's Supper, in those hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus was made sin for us. And when nobody could look and see because it was dark, God placed our sin on His perfect Son. And His Son took our punishment. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried. And praise God, He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And He was seen. And today, He says, any who come to Me, I'll receive you. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you recognize you're a sinner separated from God and you need to be saved and you can't be good enough to be saved and there's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. There's nothing you can do to connect yourself with God. That's what the Lord Jesus has done. And if you're willing to receive Him as Savior, I believe He died for me. He died for my sins and rose again, and I receive Him as my Savior. I trust Him to give me the gift of eternal life. I don't deserve it. I deserve hell, but I believe He died for me. And I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to receive Him. And at that very moment, we may not feel different, or we may feel different. But you know what? We become connected to the vine. And positionally, there's a connection there that cannot be broken. And the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the true vine, also said, I am the good shepherd. And He said, my sheep are in my hand. And my sheep are in my Father's hand. And nobody can get them out. We can't lose this connection positionally, but practically, can we lose that position, that in practice? Yes, we need to be practicing that connection with the Lord Jesus. Practice in the sense of living in accordance with who we are. Christ, who is our life, we read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Christ, who is our life, He is the life of the believer. Without the Lord Jesus, we have nothing. We are nothing before God. We cannot produce any fruit that's going to matter for eternity. Apart from the Lord Jesus, that's what He said. Apart from Me, you can do nothing unless you abide in Me. Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can I ask you this morning? Do you personally possess a positional connection with the true vine by grace through faith. If you possess that, it did not come of you doing anything except receiving a gift, the Lord Jesus. If you've not personally received Him as your Savior, you can do that right where you're sitting this morning. You can believe on the Lord Jesus, recognizing that you're a sinner before Him, and you can trust Him as your Savior this very moment where you sit. And you'll have a connection. Do you personally possess that positional connection? Now here's a question for all of us who do possess that positional connection. On a scale of 1, 1 being low, 10 being high, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your honest evaluation of your practical connection with the true vine? And that's between you and the Lord right now. I'm not asking you to tell me or to tell anybody else, but what do you think? Just from what you understand at this point, we're going to look at it some more, but what you understand at this point, what would you say? Are you 5? Is it average? Is it like really, really weak? And maybe you're down about a 2? Or maybe you feel like, hey, I'm really connected in a practical, ongoing way. I believe it's a 9. What is it? Well, let's move ahead. First of all, what does it mean to abide in the vine? Question number 2, what should motivate me to abide in the vine? And this is one thing that I really appreciated in reading over these verses while I was at Emmaus and reading them with the students. You know, just to see all of the motivation that God gives us. You know, when I think about the motivation, I think about this word opportunity. Opportunity. Because I think that's what He presents here. In other words, He says, I want you to be motivated to abide in the vine because of the opportunities that are presented. Some of you are familiar with the Career Academy here in Greensboro, an alternative high school for young men. And a number of people in the meeting here are involved as tutors and administrators and in different ways there. The little theme, little slogan for the school, for Career Academy, is this: connecting to opportunity. See, the whole goal is to connect young men to the opportunity to be what they want to be, what they should be, what God made them to be. So let's think about some of the opportunities here, and we're going to have to kind of hurry through these. The first one we'll spend a little bit more time on. What should motivate me? First of all, the opportunity for productivity to be reality. Again, we're going back to fruitfulness here. The idea of being productive as a branch. Okay? Notice there in verse 2, notice all these references to fruit bearing. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. It's all about bearing fruit. Well, we might say, what's the fruit that the farmer is looking for? I'm going to give you a couple real quickly, because again, we don't have a lot of time. Hebrews 13, 15. Praise, the fruit of our lips. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. He is looking for that fruit from our lives, thanking Him, praising Him, recognizing Him for who He is. Not that He can feel better about Himself. He's perfect. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our praise. But He is worthy of our praise. Secondly, Colossians 1:10, good works, good works. Paul prays for the Colossian believers that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Doing those things which would represent God well in our world. Doing those things that would honor Him. putting into practice who we are as branches in the vine, allowing God to use us to do His work in this dark world. Number three, the fruit of souls. S-O-U-L-S. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. In John 4, verses 35 to 37, we see the Lord Jesus looking out at the crowds and saying, "The fields are white for harvest, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life." Number four, there's material sharing. Philippians 4, verses 16 and 17. And Paul writes to the Philippian believers and he says, "For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." There was fruit in them giving to meet Paul's needs, meeting the needs of those who are in need. And then lastly, and I think primarily, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. This is the character of the Lord Jesus in a ninefold fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's the Lord Jesus. And you see, that fruit should come out through my life. That fruit should come out through your life. The very character of the Lord Jesus. That's what the Spirit of God is wanting to do. He's wanting people to look at you and say, "Wow, what makes that person different? Why are they so loving? Why is the peace in their life? Why are they so faithful? Why do they have such self-control in difficult circumstances? Why? And we can say, "It's the Lord Jesus living His life through me. It's not me. I couldn't do this. It's Him living His life through me." Look at verse 2. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away." Again, we said, He lifts it up. He lifts it up. But you know what? I don't want that to characterize my life. That's the no fruit. The no fruit. I don't want that to be. I don't want that to be. Look down in verse 6. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." And some teach that that means, well, they were saved, but then they got disconnected, so God's going to throw them into hell. But again, that goes against the teaching of the rest of Scripture. Oh, what does it mean then? Well, let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15. Think about your life in this sense. And he's talking about a building here rather than a vine. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." So as we think of these branches being thrown into the fire, to me it's the picture of somebody's life who's not abiding in the vine, who's not dwelling in Christ, who's not continuing in that fellowship, allowing the life of the Lord Jesus to be lived out through them. And it's going to be burned up. It's a wasted life. And you might become the most famous person in the world. You might become the richest person in the world. You might become the greatest sports figure in the world. You might become the most beautiful person in the world. You may become whatever in the world or in your family or in your county or in your job or on your team. But if you're not dwelling in the Lord Jesus, it's going to be burnt up. It may look good now. It may feel good now. But it's going to be burned up. God says it's wasted. The Lord Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes, but look, I just had the greatest sales month of my life. I led the whole company nationwide. It's a waste when it comes to eternity. It's going to be burned up. My kid just made straight A's and got satisfactory in all his conduct grade. Well, that's wonderful. We should be thankful for that. It's not that it's a bad thing, but when it comes to eternity, that's not going to matter. Now, maybe what you invested in that sales job, maybe what you invested in that family, that can last. If you've done it while abiding in Christ. He said there that there's no fruit in verse 2. But then there is fruit in verse 2 also. That every branch that bears fruit. And then also look in verse 2. There's the idea of bearing more fruit. And then verse 8. Much fruit. There are different levels of fruit bearing. What's God's desire, do you think? You know, some of us, we get pretty satisfied. You know, hey, if I can get through school and make C's, hey, that's all right. I'm going to graduate and everything's good to go. Or maybe even B's and I'll get into college. You know, I'll just make B's. Some of us are just satisfied with, you know, okay, hey, you know, I'm 20 pounds overweight, but, you know, hey, 20 pounds is better than 30 pounds, right? I could be 30 pounds. I could be 40 pounds overweight. I'm only 20 pounds overweight. I'm good with that. I'm going to accept that. And you can go on and on with practical examples. The idea is, spiritually speaking, what does God desire for me? Does He want me to bear no fruit? Well, I know that's not right. Well, if I'm bearing fruit, should I be content with that? I should rejoice in that, for sure. That's the life of the Lord Jesus being lived out through my life. More fruit would be even better. How about much fruit? That should be the longing of our hearts. You understand what I'm saying for me? I don't want to get complacent. It's easy to get complacent. If you think I'm doing okay, all right, maybe I'll just coast. You know, and if you come up and start rebuking me, I maybe have to think about it. But what about God? What about God rebuking me? What about me reading this passage and saying, by this is my Father glorified, that I bear much fruit? Well, I'll glorify Him a little bit, you know. Just because I'm not glorifying Him as much as I could, you know, give me a break. I don't want to have that attitude. I don't want you to have that attitude. I don't think any of us want to have that attitude. What is my desire? A second motivation, prayer to be answered. Look at verse 7, what the Lord Jesus says. Notice that word, if. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. If I am willing to abide in the Lord Jesus, to dwell in Him, to allow His life to come into my life and through me to produce the fruit that He's looking for. If I'm willing to do that, He says, I can have my prayers answered. Wow. You mean I can get that new car I've been wanting? Oh man, this is great. You mean that job promotion that I've been longing for? You mean I can pray and I'm going to get it? Maybe. Maybe. Why? Because when I'm abiding in the Lord Jesus and His Word is abiding in me, my wants are going to be different. I'm not saying that I won't still want a new car or a promotion. But you know what I'm going to want more than anything else? What He wants. Lord, what do You want? I would love a new car. And that would be great to get that promotion at work. But you know what? I want what You want. Maybe you know that's not best for me. Or maybe You want me to take the resources that would get that. And maybe You want me to invest it somewhere else. Or maybe You want me to have a lateral transfer. Or maybe You want me to have a different job. Or maybe You want me to stay right where I am and do right what I'm doing for now. Lord, I want what You want. I can promise you that anytime you pray the same thing that the Lord Jesus would pray, I can promise you it'll be answered. It'll be answered. And that's what the Lord Jesus is promising us here. You know, candidates are running on a platform of change. There's always changes that they're going to promote, right? And they're going to say, hey, if you want change, vote for me. If you want things to be different, vote for me. You don't want to be like it's been. Look at what they're doing, or look at what they've done. They claim to be the candidate of change, but look at their track record. I'm the one who will bring change. God can bring the true change. And it'll come through prayer. It'll come through prayer. I'm not talking so much about, I'm not talking politically here. I'm just talking about in life. I was using that as an illustration. Though He can bring change there as well, if that's His will. But as I pray, and as I pray, abiding in the Lord Jesus, and it's time to close, and I don't have a problem waiting for a couple weeks to finish this, but I do, it kind of frustrates me knowing that not only did we not get through all the motives, we didn't get to the, how do you do this? How do you do this? But we'll get to that. The Lord can show you. Abiding in Him. Because we need to close. I want to respect your time. But may the Lord just encourage us, challenge us from what we've already seen about abiding and these two motivations. And we've got four more. And then we've got six practical how-tos that we're going to implement. Next Sunday morning, our brother Ronnie Murdoch will be speaking. The next Sunday morning, I'll be speaking. And we'll finish up these thoughts on abiding in the vine and the will of the Lord. So thank you for your time this morning. We're going to pray together. Our brother David is going to come up, and he's not just going to be positionally a piano player. He's going to practically be a piano player, exemplifying for us what we should do as we seek to live out loud what God has called us to be and what we are if we've trusted Christ. If you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior while we were talking this morning, I'd love to know about that. If you have more questions, I would love to know about that. I'd love to try to answer. There are others here who would love to do that as well. And we want to invite you to do that and encourage you. And encourage one another. Ask one another, are you abiding in the vine? Are you abiding in Him? Are you letting the life of the Lord Jesus be lived through you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for gathering us this morning, for this time in Your Word. Father, it's so wonderful to look at Your Son. And this morning, we've seen Him as the true vine, the true source of life eternal, the true source of life that's meaningful on this earth, the true source of a life that can have an impact on this world. Father, we want to be fruitful. These different types of fruit, we want them to be evidenced in our lives. We want to be ones who, when people look at us, they see, whether they realize it or not, the life of the Lord Jesus being lived out. Father, He was not self-centered in His life. No, He came to give His life, to minister, to serve. Father, may that be our heart. Father, we pray that You will convict us, You will challenge us, You will change us, that we might bear much fruit. Thank You for any fruit, Lord. It's all of You. But Father, we don't want to get in the way. We want to deal with the hindrances that may be in the way. But Father, we just commend ourselves to You. We pray that You'll be glorified through our lives as You produce the fruit of the life of Your Son in us and through us for Your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So Brother David will play one verse. Please meditate and just do some business with God. Tell God something that you want to be different about your life as a result of His Word in John 15.